girls by the bar, because we'll never stop talking about girls. Welcome back to HBO Girls Rewatch. I'm Amelia Ritoller.
And I'm Evan.
And
I did it tighter this time.
I don't know if you can tell. I don't know if you can tell because my legs are really tan and I'm glowing, but we did just get back from Miami.
Well, someone was like, when I came back from Miami, they're like, you look different. I'm like, tanner? They're like, just different. I'm like, what does that mean?
I think going out in Wynwood changed you forever and not in a good way.
Oh my God, the quote unquote queer neighborhood that was inspired by Bitcoin.
If any of you out there listening are wondering, should I go out in Miami? Is that going to be my scene? I'm going to be honest and say, if you listen to this podcast, the answer is probably no.
Wait, in our defense though, and in those people's defense, we only saw two neighborhoods.
That's true. And actually, we did go to a popsicle place and the girls in the front of the popsicle place did recognize us. So maybe people in Miami have
two
some
blonde 19-year-olds. We love you. We're reaching out to you. Oh my God. You know, we have to talk about my friend in the pharmacy museum who I just went to the wedding of.
What?
When she broke the artifact.
Oh my God.
So I have an amazing story. I just went to New Orleans. I went to my dear roommate from college's wedding. She got married at 25. When other people do it, it's weird. But when she does it, it's amazing and awesome because she's so beautiful.
I
and she has that kind of look. She texted me the other day when she was listening to the podcast about Panic in Central Park. I was like, Charlie's the first heroin addict to gain weight. She found that so funny that she was holding a 200-year artifact at the Farmer Museum where she works in New Orleans. She dropped it.
The Farmer Museum?
Pharmacy, sorry.
She works at a museum about pharmacies?
Yeah, because I think the first pharmacy was like in New Orleans, and I don't fact check.
And our podcast made her drop a 200-year-old artifact? Mm-hmm.
We are doing change with this podcast.
It's
not
so
positive, but
it's
there.
She's so Ross from Friends coded.
She had to put it back together.
Dropping the dinosaur bone, calling up Rachel. Get the hot glue, get the hot glue.
I've never seen Friends.
You will. Trust me, you will.
Wait,
but
please, I have to finish Vampire Diaries first. I don't have the time.
I got recommended so many one-season shows from 2011 that people are like, you have to watch, and I'm gonna. But I'm so excited for today's episode. I have to be honest, this girls' ep is so powerful. Like,
it's your favorite one.
I have to say, it was kind of my.
Rumors are saying.
I think it was low-key my favorite episode.
Which is great, because we did do a Dazed article. We did our top 10 favorite episodes. We didn't touch this one.
No, we didn't. We need to post that to Grid, by the way.
We have to post that to Grid. Amelia's doing another one for Gilmore Girls.
It's so cool when a guy slides into your DMs and asks you to do free work for them and you're excited.
Someone just reached out to me to be on a comedy show where it's all blind dates. And they're like, what's your type? And I described it. They're like, that's really earnest. I was like, oh, I do know what my type is. I didn't know.
I love it. Wait, to be known.
To be known.
By yourself is so important.
No, because my breakup was kind of over, like, I didn't know what I wanted. But it's like, apparently I do.
Elijah in this episode. Okay, well, there's so much to get into, and we can't wait to get into it with our guest. We will be right back with one and only, with one
Drew,
and only.
No, you,
with
yeah,
the one,
one
and only.
Drew and Anderson.
And Anderson. Oh my God, it's Drew Anderson.
Hi, you guys.
Hello. Welcome to our couch.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
I feel like this
it's
has been a year in the making.
No, it is a year in the making. We were just talking about this.
Because you guys met at a gay guy barbecue.
We met at a gay guy barbecue. There was just
past guest of the pod, Jake Cornell.
Yeah, yes, love Jake Cornell.
Well,
we were there.
You're friends with Lisa Traeger, yeah?
Yes, adore her. Saw her this week, just a couple nights ago.
Oh my God! Thank God she's back in the city.
Yeah, thank God we needed her back in New York.
She was a huge stepping stone for our podcast because once she was a guest, all these people that would never be guests suddenly would be guests. But when she was at our house, she was like, I'm going to go try and hang out with this guy, Drew Anderson.
You're kidding me.
And I was like, I know about him.
Full circle.
And now here you are on a couch.
Oh my God. No, it does feel full circle. I love you guys and I love Lisa. Like, it all feels great. It's a family.
And this
moment.
Is fun for the listeners moment. Too, I'm sure.
What's that?
This is fun for the listeners too, sure.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Okay,
I love it.
I did wear a leather jacket because I was like, it'll be fun, but I've never been hotter in my whole life.
Are you going to take it off? Take
and
it
like,
off.
All I have right now is like a shirt I rescued from a fire.
Really? Wait, you did?
Okay, fire. Esther Phallix fire?
It's a metaphorical fire.
Oh, it's cute.
It's like,
It's giving
cold
Marnie
shoulder,
in this episode.
But not on purpose.
Yeah. It's like, it could be like, your shirt could be sold to Brandy
Melville.
Yeah,
it was from an estate sale.
Okay.
So
oh,
it's like,
okay.
It's actually ripped up on purpose, but it's like, I think someone like used it as a rag and it's like, I'll take it. Or like, are you sure you want to buy it? It's like, I've never been more sure about something my whole life. It's coming home with me.
Totally. I think it's really cute.
Thank you so much.
It's so
Let's
Marnie
untuck.
In this episode.
Yeah, it is.
I'll say yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's dive in. Where were you when Girls came out, Drew?
Okay, so when Girls came out, this was 2012?
Yeah.
Girls came out in 2012. I was living in Chicago and I was watching it with my roommates. I had two roommates at the time living in Andersonville, Chicago. It came on and it was like such a huge show. And it, I think when it first premiered, they played it after Looking, I think.
Right. Which was after also, Looking, because they're trying to tie the shows together. Or maybe it
was
before.
I can't remember, but it was that
for
like
for people that don't
of,
know what Looking is, yes, yes. It's kind of Gay Guy for girls, yes. And they didn't really do that great of a job. Yes. And it stars Jonathan Groff.
Right, right. I think that's right. That yeah. They were played at the same time.
They were like, we have this great formula for gay, four people that have similar interests, and they're going to do crazy stuff in a city.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This city is San Francisco, mm-hmm. And the stuff is like all gay culture.
Right, right.
It's kind of like a more modern take on queer ass folks.
Totally, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I was watching that show, and that was where I was at. I was in Chicago working at a brunch place.
Oh my god.
And just like that was like in my late 20s. Mm-hmm. So like it was very much my experience.
It's very other too.
Yes, yes, yes. Very much my experience watching that show. I was like, watching Girls. I was like, "Oh, this felt very true
to me." Were you aspiring actor? Yeah, you went to acting school.
Yeah, I mean like brunch. I was doing more comedy, but I was like doing really terrible commercial auditions. Like I would be like going in for like And I actually, the only thing I ever booked in Chicago was like, I dressed up as a fruit fly for like an insurance company.
No.
Like, there was a clip. I can send it to you. Yeah.
I don't want to know if those are connected, insurance and fruit fly.
Yeah. 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 It was crazy. Like I was doing commercial auditions. I was like doing improv and then found my way to stand up. But like,
does every improver have to do commercial auditions? It's like, is that a natural step in a career?
I think
was really into improv in Toronto, yeah. And it was like everyone was in every commercial, like every time the TV was playing, I was like, and that's Jason Duras and that's Lisa Gilroy. Like it was
totally.
So just
I mean,
like
it's a great way to make like easy money. Mm-hmm. It's like you're usually doing some sort of job that allows you to have some flexibility. So it's
right.
Like you can audition.
And you can like ham it up in a way that an actor wouldn't know how to add.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because they're sticking to the script.
You know, and everyone wants someone with improv training. You know, that's kind of a buzzword. Yeah, yeah. They want you to be loose.
But what do we do now in the age of not commercials? What are improvers looking forward to?
Gosh, that's the eternal question. Like, what are improvisers looking forward to?
I think they're really lost right now.
I think they're lost. Oh, because there's no like haven for them.
They've
or
always
is it,
been lost.
Is there a theater now in New York?
Well, UCB's
so many.
Back,
oh,
but
UCB's
nobody
back.
Means it.
Oh, is that right?
Second
I don't know what the vibe
here,
is.
But
Second
okay.
City's
gonna
here.
Last.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I saw that.
And the IO's teaming up with Brooklyn Comedy Collective.
They are.
Uh huh.
Oh my gosh. Okay, IO was huge when I lived in Chicago.
Like, I feel crazy. Like. Really sad for the improv community because it is like there's a loss of belief in the system.
Totally.
And it's like Gen Z doesn't believe in the economy. They're not going to believe in the MLM of UCB.
Right, right.
Like it's
totally, totally.
Over.
That you're so right because like, God, it really is an MLM. When I lived in Chicago, like the amount of tears I shed as an artist, I would say like 80% went to improv. Not getting on teams, like crying over shows. Like you put your whole heart into
like
it.
Like the tap out that, didn't tap out.
No, it's demented. Like you're right. It's like, where does that lead to? Like what avenues does improv
right.
lead to?
I'm going to be brave here. I did start doing improv at 25.
Okay, okay.
And
I
that's
think
okay
I
for me to say that every
yeah,
podcast
yeah, yeah,
episode.
Yeah.
I know every podcast we talk to somebody who like improv was like a distant memory and
yes.
Evan's like I'm in level two.
Yes, yes, yes. No, it's great. But like all this being said, like all this hate, like when it's good, it's like so good. And if you do improv with people that you love, it's like oh my god, it's you know. It's
wait,
the best.
I'll be honest. I snuck into my friend's level two class by saying I missed a different level two class, and I was like, can I please join? They're like, totally. You didn't really have to lie. You could have just joined. But the guy in my class was Caleb, who does all those tours of houses on TikTok.
Oh my God. That's so fun.
I'm like, so even people with successful comedy queers, quote unquote, are doing level two improv at BCC.
Like, why not?
Yeah. We need to dive into this episode.
Let's go. Let's
season 5, episode 9, Love Stories. Mm-hmm. I can't believe we're almost done with season 5. I feel crazy.
It's flying.
Gosh. But Tally Schiffman's back. Life's hearts,
TS.
Minds
yes.
are about to change.
My favorite TS.
Yes.
Let's dive into our minute to win it. We're going to synopsize the episode, and that is a word, by the way.
In a way, we go. Fran is so upset because he's losing Hannah, but he doesn't even like her that much, LOL. And then we skip over to... Wait, why am I forgetting everything? Elijah's buying a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Shoshana's
really,
being
girl.
Secret agent for Ray by saying, I know how to turn this little coffee shop around. I studied marketing at NYU and then went to Japan for the same exact thing. So she puts on a detective hat.
And then Marnie meets up with Desi for an 8-minute conversation in the park before what's her butt Monet comes back and is like, that's enough, Desi. It's time to like disintegrate from her. Disintegrate. That's a perfect word. Totally. And then Marnie has, oh yeah, of course, Marnie has a love dream about Ray and then is talking to Elijah about it and is like, should I go for Ray again? And it's like, no, babe.
Yeah. Okay. And then Hannah runs into Tally. They meet up. She's like, should we hang out? They go get hot dogs. They have a conversation about Mimi Rose. Mm. And then they hang out for a while and have a heart to heart. She inspires her to like get back to writing again. And then afterwards, Ray and Marnie meet up to talk. She says that she might be in love with him. And then... Hannah and Tally go down the stairs. Farewell. They see Adam and Jessa and they laugh.
And that's 1 minute. Okay. I have to say closing scene of the episode is like...
Oh, it's so good.
The needle drop with Zooey Deschanel.
God, it's so good. I love this episode.
Is the credits song Zooey Deschanel?
Yeah, of course.
I was like, this sounds like Zooey.
I mean, that's everything.
What's is her band him? Again? She and him.
She and him.
She and him.
I was like, she and her. Yeah. No.
I know.
That was such a moment in time. That like, that sort of twee. Like,
I know.
You know,
well, this is a really
I miss it. So
I know. It doesn't
they do
really
Beyonce
happen.
Right before yes. this. So yes, kind of yes. the real cusp area. Of, like, yeah. We're leaving twee era. We're going into this really like hip hop era of all
yep.
things.
Yep.
So it's a beautiful timestamp. Yeah. It really is.
They
really
smoke is. Weed and suddenly we're in hip hop era.
It's like, exactly. Hey. Oh, that was so fun. I forgot about that little montage where
yeah.
they're dancing. It's
oh
epic.
My God. It was so Broad City.
Girl, what girl are you?
Okay, in my heart of hearts, and this is like kind of hard to admit, I do think I'm a cross between two. I think I'm a cross between Hannah, but I'm more Shoshana leaning, I would say.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And why?
I think that I mean well. I have a good heart. I'm neurotic. I'm a bit type A at times.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I like to... kind of like make sure that everything is in order. And I think right. that like that can be, then that can kind of trip me up sometimes, but
Hannah yeah. famously isn't even writing to-do lists anymore.
That's right.
So that's where your shosh comes in.
That's right. That's where my shosh comes in. I just think like I'm, you know, I'm a neurotic Jewish guy. And I think like sometimes my mind is moving at a mile a minute and it's hard to.
Wait, so I love the word neurotic.
Yeah.
We're now trying to make it a really positive word.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
actually so cool to be neurotic. Right, right, curb your enthusiasm. People are so into that term. But like before this, being neurotic was actually seen as a medical diagnosis.
Yeah, totally, totally, totally.
Can I just pause for a second? Is anybody else getting this targeted like real where a girl is like, I found a little medicine for my neurospiciness?
No, not like, neurospiciness. No, I've never seen that.
It's a new word. It's neo.
And I'm like, I'm scrolling. I can't unsee it. I see it 3 times a day, every day for like months now.
You know what? Everyone hates the word neurodivergent. So I'm like, neospiciness is a little bit more fun.
I guess it's a little bit more fun.
I know, because neurodivergent is like, okay, I all love. I'm neurodivergent. We always think autistic.
Yeah,
but it
yeah,
can be
yeah.
so many different things.
Right.
But neurospiciness, it's like that girl just wants to have a little fun. She's the 6 spice member.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, let's add her to the mix. Please.
No, help. Have you always been a Hannah Shosh?
Have you always
I
been neurotic?
So. I've always been neurotic. Oh, yeah,
wait,
yeah,
what was
yeah,
that
yeah.
like as a child?
Well, I think it like it just came out differently when I was a kid. I think uh-huh. that like I was just obviously nervous because I was gay and didn't
so
really know how to interact.
You're gay Westchester. In the closet.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. And you're neurotic.
I'm
neurotic.
Sitting between a mirror.
I know.
Whoa.
I know, because you're also a Westchester.
I'm a Westchester.
Okay. Yeah, Westchester guy. Please. So it was like I felt like when I was a kid, I was like, I remember I had like I would. Whenever I would wear long sleeve shirts, like similar to the one you're wearing, I would always like bite and like chew on
wait,
my
wait.
Shirts.
Can I say something? Yeah. That's my story.
That's your story? You're
That's
joking
my story.
Me.
I wish I was joking.
Are you kidding?
When I'd always
holes.
Like,
my mom would be like, what are you doing? Like, are you okay? And I was like,
is it amazing
no.
we both don't
I was just
vape?
So nervous. Yes.
It's amazing we it both was, don't vape because we love oral fixation.
That's right.
It's just cloth in our mouth.
That's right. I would
I'm
chew,
so proud of
chew,
you too.
Chew.
For yeah. not being taken by the vape nation.
No, I'm not. I mean, certainly I've got to do
oh
other
my God,
things.
We have the same. Okay, freshman yeah. year, I don't know. This is your experience. I was both the shortest kid in my grade. And every single day, even didn't matter the weather outside, 90 degrees, 30 degrees, I was wearing long sleeve t-shirt and then short sleeve t-shirt over the long sleeve t-shirt.
Do you think like
because I scared my arms.
Oh, you were nervous. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Was I wasn't neurotic, though.
You weren't neurotic. It was more, this is more anxiety.
I'm too neurospicy to be neurotic, I think. Yeah.
Girl, what girl are you?
Wait, I'm so Elijah. I'm really feeling that because finally we get it. I'm like.
Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about Elijah in our synopsis.
Oh yeah, we did it with Dill. Of course.
Really quick, he shows up to. Well, he gets a new suit at a 60% off store, and then he walks into Dill's work and is like, "We need to talk." And he basically is like, "You need a boyfriend, and you need it to be me." And Dill's like, "Actually, you're right. I do need a boyfriend, and it's not you because you're aimless."
I mean, that was like knife to the chest. Heartbreaking, and it like. It's such a cool moment for the character too, because he's never really like dug his heels in and like really had a moment to like bare his soul over the course of the show.
It
broke my
heart. I literally tweeted this morning watching it. Andrew Rannells is a revelation.
I mean, he's so good on that show. And I know. He's so fucking funny. And this scene was like, totally heartbreaking. I mean,
it was literally so cinema.
When I watched a Brandy Melville documentary this week, I know that's how it's going
to
feel.
Oh my God, I can't wait to watch that.
It's
going to
feel like that.
Brandy Melville?
Utter rejection in hell.
Yeah. Wait, so why are you Elijah? Because you're confessing your love to a TV anchor?
Oh, I'm like, wait, can I be Tally? No, I'm not Tally, though. I'm Hannah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm like, I don't always see myself in the show, so every week I have to be like, and now here I am.
Okay, yeah, totally.
It's hard. Yeah. But I'm like, you know who I am? I'm Tamansha. What's her name?
Tamarin? Tandis.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I'm so Tandis coded. Like, I'm like 8 minutes up.
I love that when she brings in the tea and she's like, I brought you tea. Like, how does that make you feel?
Wait, I'm Shoshana. I'm so sorry to go through every single character. I've never done this before except every other episode.
Yeah.
No, I'm so Shoshana. Like, I'm putting a big hat on. I love the go detective mode.
Yes.
I went to a gay bar in New Orleans 2 weeks ago. I pulled out a paper about the leather times and I just waited for 6-year-old men to approach me and I asked them questions about the leather community. To discover what was going on there. And it's like, that's what Shoshana did here. She just wants to know what's going on. She's pulling out a newspaper and she's trying to find out the best information she can.
Totally.
Yeah, totally. So Shoshana.
Yeah.
Okay, your show.
I'm so sorry for what I just did.
No, fine. Sometimes you need to do that, you know?
What girl are you?
So I actually am really feeling connected to Tally Shiffman, just in that when she has a breakdown and is like, nothing happens to me. I actually have nothing to write an essay about. Yeah. My whole thing is like, I know I should be writing. And it's like, I actually have nothing to write because all I do is go to open mics and make TikTok clips for my podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm not really living the life of a young person. Like when she's like going on and on about like how Hannah's had all these experiences and is like really living life. It's like, I feel like I've spent like all of my 20s and I'm freaking out this week specifically because I'm turning 26 and I'm like, okay, I spent my whole early 20s like not doing anything that's actually real.
Right. That's so not true though.
Yeah, it's like that it's not true.
And you guys are being so Hannah right now by saying that. It's like, yeah, no. I put out a book of poetry, so I'm fine. It's like, I didn't even do that.
We get you to kiss a boy.
I need to stop my celibacy soon.
Or are you having a celibate moment?
Yeah. Oh.
Has it been going on for a long time?
Well, almost like forever.
And like the cicadas are lapping your ass.
Years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The who? 2 years.
The cicadas that are now all horny from the fungus. Oh, they're lapping your ass.
What's a cicada?
Cicada.
No, girl. We can't go into cicadas right now.
Oh, cicadas. In the summertime, it's
like,
a chapel
every 8 to 12 years.
Lyric. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
But yeah, really connected to Tally, except I don't have a book deal and no one's asked me to give a TEDx woman speech. Yet.
I can't believe that.
I'll get there.
You will. You totally will.
And I'll be pissed off at MRH when I'm there.
You also like can't like take stock or inventory in your life like when you're like in this moment. Like when you're like when you turn 30 and you look back, you're like, oh my God, I did do all these amazing things.
Wait, Amelia, don't you remember when you lost your credit cards, phone, keys? In Deep Ridgewood, that's for the essay book. That's
I know, but I did that because I was like, I haven't had anything to write an essay about in 2 years.
Let me lose all my earthly possessions.
Let me get lost in the Broadway Junction.
We've all been there, honey. I've gotten lost there too.
It's hell down there.
It's crazy.
There's nowhere to dock a city bike that you checked out.
No,
girl, you keep having moments. We were in Miami this week. There's a picture of Selena Gomez on the wall. Amelia refused to let me have it. And she said for about 35 minutes, it wasn't Selena Gomez. We're screaming in a Miami Joe's pizza location.
I know what Selena looks like, and that wasn't her. Okay.
That's an essay, girl, please.
That is an essay.
That's anything
short
is.
Essay for
that
sure.
It's totally an essay.
Yeah, imagine going to the only gay bar in Wynwood and it's only straight guys there. That's an essay.
Right.
Except for three Spanish men who gave me a beer and then ran away.
Why did they run away?
Because they didn't speak English.
It was very... Yeah. Evan was trying their best to communicate non-verbally. And
I kept going,
was...
like, kiss. And I touched my lips. They're like, hey! And then, like, put their arm
so
around
funny.
Me. It's like, you don't know the word kiss.
Totally.
And then, like, Natasha Bedingfield's unwritten in the background. And I'm just kind of, like, doing Zumba dance. It was, like, trying to make the best of it.
I mean, that's an essay. Like,
that's an essay. Please.
Right.
And it's happening.
I need to relax. I need to smoke a fatty J.
Yeah, yeah. I loved that. I loved that scene.
Do you like weed?
So good.
I have an interesting relationship with weed. I, like, when I was in my early 20s, I was...
In Chicago.
I was smoking every day. I would wake up and smoke. I was like sort of my like
you're wake and baking.
My wake and bake, like Casey Musgraves. Like I was wake and baking. I was like eating an edible. Like I really was smoking a lot of weed in Chicago and like a little bit in my like when I first moved to New York. But like as I'm getting older, my anxiety has just gotten a lot worse. So I can't do it as
no, you're neurotic. You're neurotic.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Yeah, neurotic.
There's something really upsetting to me about the idea that like as you get older, you become more anxious. Yeah. It doesn't seem fair, right?
I know it really doesn't. Life just kind of gets increasingly harder. So you have to like, and you'd think like, oh, like weed, but and that used to be the case where I would smoke and it would help alleviate my anxiety, but it just magnifies everything for me. It makes it everything like, and if it's just a little seedling of doubt, self-doubt or anxiety, it magnifies it.
Weed sounds a lot like becoming a vampire in Vampire Diaries.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I just like, in order for me to smoke weed now, I have to be like in sort of a perfect mental space.
Right.
Totally.
Where it's like, I just had a major win and I'm like, now I can do it and nothing will creep in.
I just go envy nonverbal every time I smoke
weed.
Oh,
really? Okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
And we all have our places.
Right.
I'm like, you want to shut me up? Put a joint to my mouth.
Right.
Thank God.
Totally.
I just started thinking about the past and not in a good way.
Yeah.
So it's
your regrets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in just like thinking about the present as if it was the past already.
Interesting.
And how I would
it's like time's already slipping away.
Yeah.
Gosh.
But there's a song about that. Yeah. Something slipping through your fingers.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Slipping through my finger. And on that amazing note, we're going to cut to our first break. But when we get back, we're going to lean into Lena.
Wait, do you mind if I run to the bathroom?
No,
yeah, please. Go.
Oh, okay. Leaning into Lena. Let's start with Marnie because it's simple. Is it? She has a love dream, not a sex dream, about Ray in the midst of her divorce from Desi. And she's judging it, but I think in her new era post-divorce, she's trying to figure out what's going to make her happy rather than what's going to look good on paper.
Totally.
She's considering this for the first time. And she says, okay, well, old Marnie would be like, Ray's not good enough. No. But new Marnie is answering the call from within that says Ray is perfect for her.
Totally. And I think she's like, I think what's interesting is like coming off this relationship with Desi and this like everything's in the clouds, everything is bullshitty, you know.
Yeah.
Ray is sort of this like extreme opposite, you know, side of the spectrum, this like kind of like gruff New Yorker who like is a realist. And I think that like that is appealing to her.
Marnie needs a realist after dealing with the nonsensical poetry of Desi.
God, yes.
Well, I think we always are touching back on this, but like her big problem with Ray is he didn't always look so great on paper. Like he didn't have a job, but now he's in a much more like impressive position. Like he's running a coffee shop, even though it's running into the ground.
Yeah.
He's a city councilman. Like Marnie loves those things on paper, but she's also like letting herself be free in a way where she was so restricted being like, here's this guy. He's a successful artist. This is so fantastic. Let me like lock this down, especially something that like wasn't so obtainable for her. But now like, Ray, the easy option, was actually like the good option too. Can you imagine having both things? That's awesome.
And also, it's like I'm realizing this moment, like Ray actually really inspired her to sing. Like
Ray.
He's in that moment where he's like, what do you want to do? And she's like, sing. And he's like, what? But he's the first one to like really like push her and challenge her and like ask her what she wants. You know?
Literally, and like believe in her. Like one season ago exactly, Desi doesn't show up to their like album recording and Ray shows up and is like, you can do it yourself, you're a rock star.
Yeah, like he is he is really supportive.
He is.
And he's directing this episode. So I always find it interesting when like a director directs like kind of like sexual acts for themselves.
Totally.
So it's like this is the way I like to be kissed.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Kind of awesome.
It is. It is.
Get a little bit more insight into it.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I didn't even think about
that. Yeah. Because, I mean, Hannah's done that, or Lena's done that plenty of times where she's directed herself in sexual positions. Like, what a crazy position to be in. And it's like fun to get to see people really like take that kind of ownership.
Totally.
And, like, take this kind of new look on it all.
Well, yeah. What do you guys think about the scene where Marnie shows up at Ray's and is like, it can't be you? And now if somebody showed up at my door throwing themselves at me but saying things like, I can't believe I like you, it doesn't seem right that I would want to be with you, like that's actually bullying, no offense.
Right to do that. But I think that there's like, I think Ray is like eternally charmed by her like honesty with him, and like that she's just sort of like, I have major reservations about this, but I'm still into you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it, in one way it's charming. In another way, it would be bad for my self-esteem.
Oh, I personally could never do that. If someone came knocking and was like, I'm into you, but I like wholeheartedly or mostly believe this is not going to be good, I would be running. I'd be like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Literally, I will say every time the doorbell rings, I like am hoping it's a potential love interest.
Of course.
It is usually the UPS man. So like for
aren't
to finally be. Literally.
Also, no one just shows up anymore.
No one's
showing up.
No. It's the one thing I want in this world. No one would ever do that for me.
No one's showing up ever.
Ever.
You know, we don't do that.
We don't even
house.
Call without permission.
No?
Yeah,
can
you
I
always
call
text.
You? Can I FaceTime? It's like, just call.
Just
what would that
it.
Look like?
No, but by the way, when people do, I never
you
answer.
How would you feel if someone kind of came by your house, rang the doorbell, kissed you?
Would hate. Well,
okay,
of course, if it's the right person. Right?
Oh, and
but,
BF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
would love for your live-in boyfriend to ring your doorbell and kiss you.
He kiss me? That'd be so sweet.
Wait, he should.
Yeah.
That would be so romantic.
Ned, do it.
I don't think I would like that very much.
You don't.
No, let's go out first.
Okay.
Don't just come to my house.
They've hooked up. They're friends with Ben's.
Right.
What about your friends with Ben's comes around to your apartment?
Well, let's get pasta first.
Interesting.
No, I'm like, I'm always internally wishing that someone's ringing my doorbell is also in love with me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm there for it. I'm going
to
have.
I need
also,
to clean
guys,
the apartment.
Are you guys, can you O from L, orgasm from love?
Wait. Like you're saying
Marnie
like
style in this dream.
Oh, interesting.
No, and again, when Eliza says Marnie, you can't come. I'm like literally me.
Oh, really? I don't like. It's been a long time since I've like had like a dream like that where I'm like when I was a teenager, it would happen all the time. But like no, I haven't had that in a long time. Have you?
Okay, I can do that without actually even dream format.
Really? Really?
I'm such a love whore.
Oh my god!
I think.
That's
well, we
so
have to,
funny.
Of course,
dig
back some more layers. Yeah. But yeah, no, I really am like, I don't know if I'm like, I'm like unconventionally horny.
Oh, me too. Like I'm too.
Literally. I'm like, I don't, it's sure sexual body's awesome, great. But I'm like, you do something kind for me, like that's going to get me harder than anything else.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that's so funny.
And I'm kind of bravely, basically asexual, and I do dream of labor.
You're kidding.
You know that tweet that's like, I don't dream of labor. I'm like, that's all I dream about. I literally, I'll go to bed and I'll be in Google Calendar in my dream. Like,
oh, my
that's
God,
only when
that
you take
so
ADHD
funny.
Medicine.
Every time I take Adderall and then have to go to bed, I'll like deep clean my car in my dream. And then I'll wake up and be like, I sold that to CarMax 5 years ago.
Okay, so your dreams are like all like getting shit done.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I might as well check it off in the dreamscape.
That's so funny.
Gotta get it done.
Gotta get it done. Yeah. Okay, and then if we can even go further into Ray and Shoshana, kind of a nice little parallel situation.
I mean, they're so
going
sweet.
On.
Like, it's interesting how they're...
When Ray smiles and is like, Shosh, is that you? You're back?
It's so sweet. And it's like, I don't know, like, I think she like she genuinely loves him and
Are
cares about him.
Are you friends with any of your exes?
No. I've never been one of those. Like,
yeah.
I think it's okay. Like, I think it's cool when people can do that, like when they can be friends with their exes in a real way. But for me, I'm just sort of like, I need to have that boundary. There's kind of no reason for me
to run
into
that.
Yeah, I do. I mean, especially with like, you know, you date comedians sometimes as, you know. So you run into people that you know, but it's like, there's no bad blood. Like, I don't actually have any bad blood with anyone I've dated, but it's just, what are we going to do? It's like, it's almost like the chapter's closed.
Right.
Let's move on.
What do you think I should do? Because I'm I dated a comedian. Yes. We broke up.
Okay.
We're in the same gay friend group.
Okay.
They're in the same gay group chat.
That's hard. Yeah. That's hard. I mean, I'm dealing with this right now in my friend
really?
Group. Yeah.
You
there's
no
breakups. I mean, the advice is just like...
Wait, a different gay guy from Westminster has to have advice.
Yes. Look back. I mean, I think that like you just have to like establish boundaries where you can. Right. And like, you know, if you're feeling weird or uncomfortable, then like you just maybe pause a bit on the group chat.
Right.
I don't know.
I have so much anger in my heart.
You do.
I know, and I'm not an angry person, so for me to be feeling this is, of course, making me neurotic.
You just got to do more cardio.
No, I've only been doing...
Run it out, right?
Yeah.
Does that work? I don't know.
It does.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but then I keep listening to songs about how people are mad at their exes. Not on purpose, but
it's, like... But it's every song,
it's every song, by the way.
I think you should do what Shosh does and turn their local business around using new marketing skills.
I have a marketing degree and a hat like that.
Oh, my God.
So I could try.
Yeah. I also don't have a business. Also, I think, like... I know I hate to say this, but it's true. Like, you'll meet someone new, and then it'll ease the heartache, and it'll ease the tension.
You are so wise.
That's all there is. I mean, that's the ultimate cure. I know it's like, maybe that's like not the best advice. It's true. You can do that for yourself, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, I listened to a 7-part podcast series called Breakup Bootcamp, and they never mentioned that.
Well, then they're just lying to themselves.
I had to write a letter. It didn't do anything.
I mean, maybe that isn't the healthiest way. Obviously, it's like not to jump into something, you know, like crazily jump into something that you're not into.
It's
but
been
like,
long enough where
I went to Japan.
I could do that.
Yeah.
That seems much more feasible.
I wrote down because I know like sometimes you guys talk about memorable lines. Like,
oh, please.
The line that like really stuck out to me in this episode is when Hannah is fighting with Fran at the beginning of the episode, and like I think it's so interesting that she like of all of her moments in the show, she like really stands up for herself, and like I found that really awesome that she has this moment of empowerment. But when she says to him like you would have what was it?
You would put
it
the
was,
witches.
Yes,
on
you
trial
would have
put
sent witches to trial in the crucible. Like, I mean, that is
so
funny.
And smart.
And it's like, it's interesting that they painted this like bad, like good guy, because that's such a fucking type. Like,
and it has not been represented correctly in the media ever before.
Exactly.
And Lena Dunham said, these guys are out here and they are dangerous. And
exactly.
I'm going to prove it. I mean, this scene where she's finally like, yeah, I guess I am an awful girl. Yeah, I guess whatever. You want me to buy you an Uber? Like, it's time for you to go, bad boy.
I loved that. And I adored that. I was like, yeah, like stand in your power. Like, there's literally nothing he can say to you that's going to get under your skin. And that's such a real type. He's like good dudes that are fucking awful.
I mean, Hannah, everybody shits on her all the time. They're like, she's not self-aware. She has no boundaries, blah, 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 blah. This girl knows how to stand up for herself like most girls are.
She's a je ne sais quoi.
Do not.
She is a je ne sais quoi.
Literally. Wait, is that the French term they said?
Yeah. So the principal is like, you really have a je ne sais quoi about you. She's like, I really do.
And she's like, sorry, I showed you my pussy, by the way.
Yeah.
Another memorable line.
He was like, honestly, no worries, babe.
Honestly, no worries, babe. I mean, it's such a good episode.
I love the direct comparison because we immediately panned to the principal after.
Sorry. I was like, it had to be something else, French.
So, but it is interesting because I think the principal acts as like a direct comparison as an actually kind person. Like, we're depicting many men in this show, and even the kind ones are actually bad guys as well.
Yeah.
And then Ray, who's seemingly a bad guy, is actually a really good guy. Mm-hmm. Here's a principal who's a good person who's also a good person.
Yeah.
He's kind of.
Well, it's like, it's so funny because like the reason why Fran is like, an undercover dick is because he wants to present as a good guy, and that's the type.
That's
they
the
want
most
to show that's the most dangerous of all are the good guys in quotes who want to present in a certain way, but just don't quite get there and are undercover doing some like kind of shitty things.
It is so cool that Hannah has the clarity to be like, this is who you are, by the way.
Right.
Is like, you think you're like this, and what you actually are is like so tied to like these fake like rules of how a woman should be.
Right.
And like
that's
you think
it,
because I'm not adhering to them that
that's
like I'm a bad person, but actually you're just a judgmental little cuck.
And a misogynist.
And a misogynist.
Always hoping someone used the word cuck this episode.
Totally.
He was being so cocky. I mean, this breakup like scene is so powerful.
I mean, they should have just an Uber carrier. I wish they had that option back then for them.
Right.
Just put an Uber carrier, send a Tesla. I send a Toyota Black Camry somewhere.
Yeah, right, right.
Please. Do you low-key, though, relate like to Fran's character of like, it doesn't matter if I don't like you. Like, I love you. Like, that is like, I get where it's like you have a person in your life and you can't stand them. And they're like, you don't even like me. Like, why are we doing this? And it's
well, it's because those people like are like they're addicted to love. Like they just want to like love someone.
Yeah.
But they don't actually aren't taking the time to get to know someone and know whether they actually like them. It's just
literally so Marnie coded.
100%. And it's like the thing with Ray is that like he's a little rough around the edges. He tells you exactly how he feels, but he's gonna at least be transparent with you and not, you know what I mean, and he will actually like someone
and talk about being direct with someone. Elijah right here, he's finally being direct for the first time in this whole show, maybe even with his news anchor almost boyfriend.
Yeah,
and it bites him right in the ass. He's like, I'm going to the store, it might not be the world's nicest store, but I'm gonna try to dress to impress for God's sake. And then he shows up being like, hey, Cliff is his name,
Dill.
Sorry, who's Cliff?
Okay. Whatever.
It doesn't matter. It's in both foods. And he's like, you know what? Here's my cards on the table. Don't you want these cards? And he's like,
no.
I want those cards. That's not your hand.
I know.
Yeah, hell.
Hell. Hell.
It is so devastating because Elijah, of course, goes to talk to Dill. And it's the first time Elijah, an aimless gay guy, has set aim on something.
I know.
And then is immediately shut down with you're aimless. When it's like their first time really trying to like be like, this is what I want, I'm gonna go for it.
Yeah,
you're in an age gap relationship. How
I am
speak
yeah
on
wait you are
yeah my tell boyfriend's 9 years younger than me.
It's not
my God.
Can you believe?
And wait. Gay, that's nothing though.
Yeah, it's not. I mean,
it's so my dad, my stepmom.
Oh really? Yeah,
they're longer.
I mean, so I met
yeah, they're 11 years instead of 9, just for the folks.
I mean, I say 9, but it's like more times than not 10. I'm just saying 9.
He's 18.
Yeah.
He's 18. No.
Like, we actually met in the pandemic. Like, a friend set us up through Twitter.
No way.
Yeah.
Wait.
Magic can happen on
every other couple I know in Brooklyn Comedy right now. You met through Twitter. People met through TikTok. I know so many Brooklyn comedian couples that met through TikTok.
A friend, I was so sad. I was so depressed living in Park Slope, house sitting for a friend of mine. And I was chatting with my friend. I was like, I'm so sad. Like, I'm feeling blue. And he was like, oh, like, there's this gay guy that I know who's been tweeting about also feeling blue and living in Park Slope. Like, you should reach out to him. And I was like, oh. And then I reached out.
Oh,
and my boyfriend was like tweeting about finishing a book. And I just slid into his DMs.
Oh,
and I was like, what book? So you don't need
your
much. You don't need much game.
My
pickup line was what book?
Wait,
that's
and
it. Now you're in love.
Now we're in love. We've been together for 4 years.
Together.
What's up?
Melancholy brought you together.
Yeah, melancholy brought us together. And
oh
then it was like
gosh.
That was it. Yeah,
but
we went on a walk in the park, and that was it.
People love to say that Twitter is a waste of time.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I know. I mean, oh God, Twitter. But yeah, brought us together. It was really my friend. My friend Cole set us up. But
and
nobody
so
good enough.
You're Dill in the situation.
I'm Dill, but. I was like saying yes to. Yeah, I was saying yes to love. I was open to it with him.
He's at least reading a book.
Yeah. Or at least reading a book. Yeah, I can't say that for all the people. Right, that's true.
Sure you're reading. I'm sorry to put that on.
Well,
you.
Am I? You know, I am sometimes.
Is it okay what happened to you in the pandemic here?
Yeah.
Are you feeling better?
I'm feeling much better. I mean, I lived in like down the street in Bushwick during the pandemic, and it was really hard. But I had like a little, you know, I lived with a couple and it was fine, but also just like, you know, everyone was kind of going through it, but like it was especially bad, I think, like it was just gray and we were stuck
literally
inside, you know, but it was fine.
Well, you peed and bee.
Yeah.
What?
Pandemic and Bushwick.
We're going to go on our second break. Yeah. And when we get back, we're going to dive into the tally of
it
all.
The tally of it
all. This is the best. I mean, like, just honestly cut
Jenny
the rest
Slate
of the stuff. It's like,
yeah,
this is what
let's get to Jenny.
Hear.
Time for Jen.
And
we're back.
Oh, my God. Jenny Slate is back. We have not seen this girl in seasons. Last time we saw her was at her book release.
Oh,
in like
one.
Classic episode.
Episode 6, I think.
Classic episode.
I mean,
yeah.
What was her book called again?
Like through the something, it was like a very dramatic title.
It was like Tally is me.
Like Hannah has that line like, Her boyfriend like killed himself. Thank God her boyfriend
killed himself. God, yeah.
She's so lucky.
Something like that.
That's
so funny. What she's is? Back. How does Tally come back? She's pedaling her bike in Greenpoint, and she's like, Hannah.
Yeah, and then like, she's like initially Hannah's like so pissed to see her, you know, and she's trying to like brag a little bit. Yeah, and then they just have that exchange, and she's like, "Oh, I have some time free. Do you want to hang out?" And she's like, "Yeah."
She's like, "I'm actually technically free until I have to go home for Thanksgiving."
Right, I forgot. Because
she, so oh, funny. Also Hannah quits her job.
Right,
it's the summer, so she's not working right now. But she goes to pick up her stuff from the school, talks to the principal, and it says, "I don't think I'm going to come back in the school year." So.
Right.
So Hannah, no boyfriend, no best friend, no job.
Right.
Runs into Tally, the like queen
Iggy
of
Azalea
everything.
Song.
Right. In the middle of Miami.
In the middle of Miami.
Yeah, totally.
But she's in the middle of Greenpoint, right by Action Burger,
which is actually Williamsburg.
Right, that's true. And then they go to Griff hot dogs.
Seven hot dogs each. That's a lot.
Is that what they get? Oh yeah, totally. And they get to it and they talk about Mimi Rose Howard.
I think Hannah wanted.
Hannah wanted seven.
She's like, I would eat seven. Yeah. Which I loved. Like that was the moment. That was the moment where Hannah was like, oh, this is a real one. Like where
this
they're
is a real
like,
one.
She's like, I think Tally is like, if that bitch messes with me one more time at like a women's TEDx conference.
Mimi Rose Howard.
Yeah, Mimi Rose Howard.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of when I think Hannah switches and is like, oh, maybe this is someone that I actually, like, this could be my girl.
She's like, wait, maybe we do have community.
You know, this is a classic line. The enemy of your enemy is your dearest ally and friend.
Right.
Denny Slate is the funniest actress of all time. God, we all watched the behind the scenes.
Yes.
And she's like, I love this at interaction where Lena's like, I love bike riding. It's the most fun I've ever had filming a show. And then Jenny's like, I'm scared of bikes. It's so fun.
Totally. And I also love in that scene, it's such like a beautiful line that feels so quintessentially like Lena Dunham when she's like talking about Jessa and Adam, and she's like, I love them both so much, I don't know who to warn about the other.
It's such a beautiful line.
Like,
also to be so hurt by them too, and also like be able to admit to Tally Shiffman like, and I miss them a lot.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I thought that was so beautiful. It just felt like it's such a beautiful, perfect line.
I heard that line and I paused my computer and I screamed out loud.
I know.
She's not joking.
She's just such a gifted writer.
Hannah's like, Tally makes me feel so insecure. Her life is perfect. And then they decide to smoke weed.
Yeah.
They steal a bike.
Yeah.
Well, the steal without consequences. There's so many funny parts of that. Yeah. It's like, everyone steals without consequence. Why can't I? Which is like, I live by that.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, girl, what girl are you? You're Tally because you're always stealing stuff and encouraging other people to steal.
I love that. Let's talk about this.
I was in the Orlando airport for a 7-hour layover by accident because I canceled my flight, and then instead of going directly to Miami, I had to spend 7 hours in
Evan
Terminal C.
Evan stole three phone chargers because he kept losing them.
And then I'm living for this.
I got one and then I lost another one. Okay. So I had to go back and steal another from a different store, Hudson News.
Oh my God. Okay. I also steal.
Of course.
Like, here's what mine's like nothing major.
Like a guy from Westchester stealing. It's written.
I've seen it before. But what I do is I bring a tote with me. And it's like, if you're a gay guy with a tote, you can put anything in there. And it's like, it's yours.
This is the opening of
like when I go to the grocery store, I'm like, oh, like, I don't want to pay for the ground beef. Like, why do I want to pay $9 for this? I'm like, I didn't buy it. I'll just go into my tote. I'm not paying for it. So sometimes I'll do that. I'll pay for most of the things and I'll just like forget to buy ground beef. You know what I mean? I'm just like, Whole Foods doesn't need that from me. But.
The Whole Foods doesn't need that from you.
But like, I get a rush too. I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm more so like, fuck the man, fuck this corporation. It's one thing of ground beef.
I've been stealing from mom and pa shops.
Oh, you are. No, you are. But I jumped.
One mom and pa shop because they did our total wrong, so I stole a Kumquat.
All right.
That's not so crazy.
We went to this fruit stand, and it's called Robert Is Here, and the guy was working, and he literally charged us $64 for 5 mangoes, and then he accidentally typed it in as $94 because the 6 and the 9 are close together, and we had to go back and be like, sir.
So I brought a guava in my pocket.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's okay. I jumped the turnstile the other day.
How'd it feel?
Police
got a ticket.
No.
Wait. So
how did
they
you
came
not
up
see
to
them,
me.
By the way?
Because they're on the other side.
I'll tell you. 4th Ave, 9th Street. Have you guys ever been? The G, the FG.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay. I was coming back from a show. There was no one there. No one there, or so I thought, jumped over the turnstile, and they were in the stairwell.
No.
Cops come up, right up. Sir, gave me a ticket. got nailed.
Why didn't you just run?
Because you can't.
No, but you could.
No, it's like they're going to chase me. Then I get another ticket for like fleeing. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Is it against the law to run? You're knocking
out race. I think so.
That's crazy.
I think so. They're actually nice as far as officers go, but I like.
How much is the ticket?
The ticket is $100.
Okay.
I mean, it's not terrible. It's not good.
If you did the math, you have to jump 25 times.
Yeah.
You already contested it?
I emailed the MTA and was like, told them my whole sob story. TBD if I get it reduced or if it's...
You're going to have to let us know.
I'll let you know.
And we're going to let listeners know. Because we'll see. I'm invested.
I hate to tell you this, but the same exact thing happened to me another day, except they took pity on me because I use retinol. So they think I'm younger than I am.
Oh.
Or I...
So they let you go?
Yeah. I keep getting confronted.
They give you a warning or like...
They're like, have you ever gone in trouble with the police before? I'm like, no, because they always let me go. Yeah, because we don't have to go into all the ways, but police are always like giving me like, you shouldn't do this.
I have my license.
You were in Westchester.
Always pretend you don't have your license too. Always pretend because that's how they get you and their systems are really slow. So if you give them your license, then they can look you up. Without their license, they actually have a really hard time looking you up. So just pretend you don't have it.
Yeah, Evan ran a stop sign in Westchester and the police tried to give them a ticket, but they didn't have their license, so they couldn't pull it up quick enough. So we just left.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but since that whole thing, I'm like, I'm a woman of Jesus Christ. Like, I'm not.
You're scared now.
I'm scared. You're tapping.
I actually am scared because I don't want to get on their ticket.
No, it is so devastating when the cops beat you into submission.
I know. It's like, I was a girl. Like, I was like, fuck the man. Like, I'm stealing my, I don't know why I keep saying ground beef, but that's just something that I've stolen the best. But like, I'm not doing that anymore. At least for the next couple months.
And can we talk about the specific speech that's going on in the bedroom?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In the bedroom. Yeah.
So we all watch behind the scenes, but Lena talks about how this is directly a way for her to talk about her own experience.
Totally.
Post being celebrity. Mm-hmm. And like how she can't reflect on Hannah because Hannah doesn't get the accolades. She's so like behind the curb in a way that Lena isn't.
Right.
So she's finally able to like project these feelings onto Tally.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I thought that was really interesting. Yeah. And it's like, that whole thing about her like Googling herself and just like sort of feeling like she's not a human being or hasn't had these experiences. I thought that was interesting.
It is so. Are you Googling yourself ever?
No. I mean, like if I have a show coming up, I'll like Google, not myself, but the show to make sure like it's getting written about.
SEO.
But like, yeah, but like, no, I'm not really Googling myself that much. No.
That's
amazing. Are you Googling yourself?
I've definitely Googled myself a lot. Yeah.
Well, I Google myself because it's really important for me to be the most famous Evan Lazarus. Like, I don't need big accolades, but I do want to be more successful than the other Evan Lazarus who does Bitcoin streams. It is like a big...
Oh, there's another one.
There's a lot of other Evan Lazaruses.
Totally.
And the thing I care about most is being the most popular Evan Lazarus because the other ones are just like work and finance. It's like, please.
Like, you've cornered the market in the entertainment industry.
For Evan Lazarus, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'm always just double checking like what's popping up, like, is the LinkedIn high enough?
Because
I, of course, have a real job, and sometimes I feel a little too free to post stuff online, and I'm like, that can't be the top thing in the feed.
Oh, interesting.
But by the way, your most recent tweet is the first thing that pops up when you do it yourself.
Well, for me, it's always like a show poster from like 2004 and like an old headshot and like a tweet that went viral that I'm embarrassed about.
Yeah, it's like, it's actually really dangerous, but you have to feel okay about it.
Yeah.
But really? It is so cool for Hannah to be like, I feel like I'm a failure. Okay, it's also okay. I'm literally this month 4 years out of college. Mm. So for them to be like, I'm 4 years out of college and this is what I have to show to myself is so relatable because it is like, you know, people who like immediately like found their thing. Like they're writing these books, they have these essays, they're doing the damn thing. And then you have these people that have been like working as a barista, being a substitute, whatever, and there's like the two paths, and it is like whichever side you're on, you're looking at the other person and you're like, well, they're actually experiencing life,
right?
And then like, well, they're actually having the accolades and they are actually accomplishing something.
There's like pros and cons to both, but it's like the latter people, the group who I like had to work, it's like those are my girls only.
Those are your girls.
Because I was talking about it with my friend the other night, like she's a writer. She's so talented. She spent like the most of her 20s into her 30s working at a restaurant. We used to do comedy together in Chicago. And she was like, ugh, like I wish that I had, found success like right after college. But it's like she has so much life experience and so many stories from like working at these restaurants and like just, you know, I don't know, meeting different people and like has so much empathy, and it's like, that's all great. It's hard, but
well, this is it's a really interesting parallel, because I just read Lena Dunham's essay book, and almost all her stories just talk about her earlier parts of her life. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nothing more of like, she has very few essays about like her current boyfriend, her current job,
right?
Because those things are like, you think would be the interesting part, like being a showrunner for girls and like dating Jack Antonoff, but like, so things work so well for her. They're not actually quite, they're not that interesting.
It's Alita.
It's yeah, very.
Of course. But that's all that anyone wants to. I mean, that's all that I'm interested in.
No, of course. You know?
Is Oberlin? Yeah.
Is Oberlin. It's just like hearing of people's life. Yeah, life as a kid, or when you weren't doing what you're doing, or what led you there. You know.
I think it's hard to always find it interesting in the now.
Yeah.
Like sometimes only in retrospect, you're able to find like those specific nuanced moments and that interesting take. And like maybe that's part of the reason she wrote about Oberlin. And like, if she was to write an essay book today, maybe it would be so much better time in Girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope that's true, because right now I so feel like I don't have anything to say. Like, I feel like I haven't actually started living my life yet. And I'm like trying to like reach a certain level of like stability and career before I actually be born.
Totally. Mm.
And it's like, well, I have to fall in love soon.
Yeah, it will happen.
Yeah, it will happen. But yeah, it's
you always
like,
want what you don't have. It's like curly hair people always want straight hair, and straight hair people always want curly hair.
It's like, that's it.
I need to change my makeup routine or something. Like, I need something to shift.
Are you like going on dates often?
I'll go on one Hinge date every 3 months and then be like, I don't have time for this.
Okay.
And
so
it's
you're
like,
just putting your career first.
Right now. I think I have my heart chakra closed.
Okay.
Literally.
But I also don't feel like I've had the same job for 3 years. Like, I'm not doing any like.
Okay.
I just edit podcasts.
Maybe do you think friend setup would maybe be the better like Ooh. Avenue instead of the apps?
I'm happy to set you up on a date.
Like, would you be open
to
that?
Should I ask friend people to set me up on blind dates?
Not so like, it doesn't have to be like that formal, but it could just be the kind of thing where it's like, I don't know, like you're open to dating and you can be like, hey, do you have like anyone that you like? Because it's like, I don't know. I just feel like that might be different. Open things up.
Well, this is my frustration with Hinge is like, well, first of all, I don't want to date anybody in comedy because it feels like that could be really bad.
Yeah.
And then I actively refuse to participate in any parts of society that aren't that in my free time.
Right.
And then in Hinge, like, it's just like you're not meeting them in the context of their life. So it's just like a fake person.
Yeah. Go on Twitter and tweet about how you're blue.
I have to tweet about being blue.
Yeah. I just think like, because there's like, I don't know. There's just one degree of separation between like your friend who you love and maybe someone that they also love. So maybe it could work out. I don't know.
I love that.
I don't know. It's just a way like
there is so many people who are in love and they're like, our friend introduced us.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's like, I know it's like I was on the apps too. It's like, it's difficult and it can feel like, I don't know. It can just feel like not sexy and very like kind of like transactional.
Yeah,
so I just think that
so down right truly even straight girls are kind of not even on those platforms anymore, so I'm like, who could they possibly be for? And like, talking about neurotic characters, Tally. Like, her whole vibrator story is truly one of the funniest anecdotes I've ever heard.
The electric toothbrush.
I mean, that's a neurotic girl.
What does she say? I know I can afford a vibrator. I just don't want one, which of course I'm mad at myself for.
Which makes me feel mentally crazy.
Which makes me feel even
mentally
worse.
Ill.
Yeah. But it's also like just so true. Like, to just have that preference.
Well, don't we all have like little neuroses? Like, I can never finish a meal or a TV show. Like, I always have to save the last bite, or I can't watch the last 10 minutes of something. My own little neurose.
Wait, so it's like you want to line up your meal with the TV show?
I just can't finish a TV show. Like, I always leave the last 10 minutes for 2 years for me to finish.
Interesting.
Every evening Chipotle bowl is like one bite left.
Oh, okay. My like maybe strange neurotic thing is like, if I am listening to an album and I'm like traveling somewhere, if I know that I'm going to arrive somewhere before the album finishes, I'll stop the album.
Oh my God, Drew,
like, no. if I'm listening to Ariana's new album, it's like, I think it's like 35 minutes or whatever, 45 minutes. If I'm like arriving somewhere and there's like two more songs and I know I'm going to get there, like when it's like, and I still have a song or something, or there's like a minute and a half left, I'm like, I'm turning it off, which is crazy.
They need to introduce 1.5 speed on Spotify for you specifically.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
What do you think that's rooted in?
I think it's like, oh God, this is embarrassing. I think it's sort of like, maybe it's from watching TV shows and film or whatever. It's like, maybe it's there's this desire for like a cinematic experience where it's like my life events are lining up with music in a way, or that it's like almost punctuating my experience.
You're
and it
like
feels
the musical
like messy.
Score is off.
Yeah, it's like it's actually insane. It feels it's like almost bordering a little obsessive compulsive. It just feels like I want things to be kind of in a neat pack. Like when I arrive home and a song is ending, I'm like, I killed it. Like, I know that.
So
and you know what? You deserve to live a life that is only that.
Yes. And it's like, totally. It's like, obviously nothing bad would happen if it didn't. But like, I am conscious of it.
Please. Yeah. Someone has to be.
Yeah.
If it's not you, it's going to literally be no one else.
That's right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that is beautiful.
Yay. Is there any other characters we need to touch?
Well, I think we need to talk about the amazing, incredible scene of Tally and Hannah high walking down the steps of their apartment, and we see Adam and Jessa entering to go to Laird's apartment with groceries, and that cultural exchange is really powerful.
It's incredible. And even before that, dare I say, when Hannah's like, should we fuck? I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
One of the funniest lines of the whole
show.
And
there's like 3 seconds where
and
they think
like,
about it.
She's like, no, I don't think so. And then they just start dancing. Like, that's like, that's my favorite part of the whole episode.
Such a
good writer.
Well, she's so good at tying her own personal experiences into this. Because that line, I think, is based off her personal essay where she like talks about almost like fucking this London-based writer.
Yeah.
It's like her only lesbian experience where like they got so close. The question was never asked, but it was there. And then another cultural experience she had is like at Oberlin, someone was cooking meth in their dorm. And then she puts that onto Jessa during the story.
Yeah.
During the story.
That is like, oh gosh, is that funny? It's so funny. It's like when you have someone that, like, when you have a really special moment where you can feel vulnerable with someone, it's like you are like, wait, like, should we? You know, blurs the line between friendship and beyond, because we all want to feel safe with someone.
Yeah, like as soon as she feels a connection,
like,
she is like, well, I guess
we have
to fuck. And then she's like, wait, I guess we could just feel the connection in a normal way.
Right. And then when they immediately go downstairs and start laughing, it's like, it just further cements that they're girls. Like, they're connected.
They're girls that are girling.
It's
so nice to see, because it's so easy to have a frenemy for life, but it's so beautiful when that frenemy can become a friend.
Totally.
I want to fuck my frenemies.
Yeah.
There's something probably really hot about that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Jessa, like, smiling and laughing. And then being
really
like,
getting it, but
this
like getting
is
it.
Fucked. And then she's like, well, I can't just stand here. Let's go, Adam. And then they walk in.
Yeah. I think it's like really truly the first moment where she's confronted with the decisions she's made.
Literally.
That whole exchange is like, so there's just, it's so chock full, you know?
script was scripting, even though there was no lines of dialogue.
Yeah. Like, it really was really, really powerful. I loved it.
I love the whole interaction, because it's like, truly, they could have mitigated a whole situation and be like, and we're high. And do you guys have a compulsion to tell people anytime you're on any kind of subs?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course I have to let everyone know.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's kind of both a brag and just an awareness.
Just let people know where you're at.
In a point where it's like, they wish I didn't.
Yeah.
People are like, you could have left that out.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you need to know like how many vodka cranberries I've had so far. Just so we're
on. Do they say that they're high when they see them? Or no?
No,
they don't.
They keep it to themselves.
Cool, they keep
it to themselves. And then we listen to Zooey Deschanel.
Needle drop. I am always in a situation though where people are like, and you're high. I'm like, that's my personality.
That's just me.
So it's awesome. Going to be reversed. I think this brings us to our next segment.
Girl, get your Glock. It's rapid fire time. Okay, first of all, what's your favorite utensil?
Fork.
Are you a voice of your generation or a voice of a generation?
A voice of a generation.
Are you a good fucking boyfriend?
Great fucking boyfriend.
Do you think your whole thing would work for administrative assistant?
Yes.
That you meet in a sports bar.
Oh, No, I don't.
Not in a sports bar.
No.
Would you know real love if it bit your fucking tit off?
Yes, I would.
What's worse, having a love dream about Ray or actually having sex with Ray?
I think actually having sex with Ray.
Do you have a wartime attitude?
No.
With all your setbacks and your issues, do you find a way to live your life with Jadavie.
I do.
That too.
This is an amazing exercise and we can't read. What do you think of every time you go to Brooklyn?
What do I think of? I think of bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah.
What are your 5 found words?
5 what?
5 found words.
Found words? Let's see.
Find them.
Okay. Pizzazz.
1.
Kava.
2.
Scary.
Middle part.
3.
Listerine.
4.
Whoa.
And 5, I'm going to say Knickerbocker.
Oh my God. And wait, we'll figure out the rhyming scheme later.
I need you in my next improv show. Just going to an audience.
Are you sending the witches to trial?
No, I'm with the witches.
Ally.
Yeah.
Are you a square?
Yes, sometimes.
Do you feel like 7 hot dogs right now?
Definitely.
Do you feel the view with your heart when you pedal across the Williamsburg Bridge?
Yeah.
Because you can't look, right? It's dangerous. We should smoke a fatty J.
No.
Oh.
What would Tali Schiffer do?
She would do it.
Do you Google yourself?
No.
Do you want to brush my hair?
Yeah.
Wow. Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
That was so fun.
Well, this brings us to our even last segment.
Oh, my gosh.
That outfit in Brooklyn.
That's where we compare Brooklyn then to Brooklyn now.
Oh, God. Let's talk.
How long have you been living in Brooklyn?
I'm like almost 10 years. It's like, it's 8.5, 9. Yeah.
Okay. Like, so years. You know what it was. You know what was happening in 2016 a little bit?
Oh, sure. Sure. It was, you know what it was? It was like that time when like the I think of the Lumineers. Do you guys know that?
Ooh,
that?
Of course.
It was like very much that like, hey, ho, like that sort of like time in culture where it was like, there were a lot of this like, yeah, like Zooey Deschanel, Lumineers. It was like this kind of like, yeah. And it was like, people were, a lot of like girls were wearing like bumblebee patterns and like cut off shorts, and like it was just like cutesy is the way I would kind of describe it.
And what
cutesy.
Would you say is happening now?
Now, I also think that like people were trying to like show off their bodies more. Like it was kind of like, now it's sort of like loose.
Ooh. Cause I'm just seeing girls here wear jerseys and boots.
That's right. Kind of that's right. Jerseys and boots.
Jerseys and boots.
I think like Helvetica, the cafe, is like so is so of that time, like that kind of moment. I think we still maybe have things like that, but it's less precious. I almost feel like
capitalism has gotten us so good that we're almost in a like we can't fight anymore. Like I'm going to Variety.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like I'm going to go to Blank Street Coffee. Blank.
Yeah,
I think VC Coffee.
Also, I think like even though people are working from home, I think there's less of a culture of working at a coffee shop.
It's less performative.
That's very, exactly. That's I think that is specifically like early aughts, 2010s, like going to the coffee shop to work. Yeah. I mean, do you still work at the coffee shop?
No, I'm doing it at my house. But I think
a public library.
Yeah.
It was like, I remember being a teenager and watching all these TV shows and the jokes were always like, these bitches be writing their screenplay at the coffee shop.
Yeah, right.
Fuck them. And totally. I was like 15, like totally. Taking notes, like, right. Okay, oh, it's pretentious to be at a coffee shop with scripts.
I think we all just realized, like, to be honest, like working at a coffee shop sucks. I don't never get things done. I'm
the
always looking around.
The chairs are really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm always looking around. I'm seeing like are other people being productive? Like I'm eating, I'm drinking, like I'm on my phone. Like I'm actually not doing any work.
I sometimes go to a coffee shop because I have to body double where you like project your work onto someone else.
Oh my
God. So they're working, I'm working.
Interesting. Oh, so that motivates you.
It motivates me.
Every time I go to a coffee shop, it's a performance.
Totally. You know where I actually go to work? Two places. You said library. Love working at the public
library.
Also. And I don't know if there's like a hotel in Bushwick, working at a hotel lobby.
Oh my God.
That's the place to work.
No, there is, but I don't want to go to that
hotel. No, no, it's fine. It's fine.
A hostel.
Girl, oh yeah, totally. No, I live in Bushwick, like I know. But there's a really nice hotel in Williamsburg called the Moxie. I work there all the time.
Don't get me started with the Moxie.
You know
there's so many nice hotels in Williamsburg and people like the Moxie.
I know, it's across the street from me.
You don't understand.
It's right across the street from me.
The Moxie means the world to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because before I moved to New York City, I came to visit and I got convinced my dad, because my dad's a Marriott guy. He got me a stay at the Moxie. It was lifeguard themed in the bathroom, millennial themed in the bed. And
you're
I'm fucking moving to this town.
And the funny thing about that is that like you're like, New York is just like the Moxie. Like that's your experience is kind of informed by the Moxie.
And it's like
I'm moving here. Like this is my new life. A lifeguard themed bathroom.
Literally, the belief that I had that living in New York City, I would be living in a hotel.
Totally. No, that's so funny.
I like walked out. I was like Webster Hall to the left, Think Coffee to the right.
This
I said,
new life.
I fucking made it.
No, that's like exactly what. But that's exactly what it is. Or you go to a when you come to New York and you see a comedy show and you're in this like huge loft and you're like, oh, this is my new life. Like, this is what it's going to be. And it's like never like that.
Literally, yeah. I went to like the Knitting Factory and I was like, holy shit.
Like, I'm in it.
The rest is herstory. And it's like, no, babe, you just like got a $15 double vodka grand and you're unemployed.
Right, right.
Get a life. But
That's so funny.
I will say, like, so many places that I thought would be magical have been magical.
Cool.
That's so exciting. Not yeah, to
New York
cheesy.
Is magical. It's hard to get to that, but it's not. You don't always feel like that. Most times, it's hard, but it can be magical.
Literally, like, achieving small goals is the meaning of life. I'd say.
Agreed.
The big ones suck.
There's nothing better. The big ones are always depressing. You're like, well, I guess that means nothing.
Well, that's what Lena Dunham is always like. The worst thing to never achieving your dreams is actually achieving your dreams.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we kind of really get that with Tally here.
Oh, totally, totally. And it's just like, it never gets easy.
Is this
like depressing?
Is this the last time we hear from Tally?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God.
We only see her twice.
Oh, that's too bad, but that's okay.
It's such a fun
I gotta watch in. Stage Fright.
Oh yeah.
Oh, is that her new thing?
And read Tiny.
Oh, it's her special. Hour. Yeah.
She's great. I love Jenny Slate.
She's up there with Kristen Wiig for me.
She's just divine.
I love reading YouTube comments when Jenny Slate is a guest because let me tell you, like, middle America loves this bitch.
Loves Jenny Slate.
There's so many times I read the comments and they're like, okay, my favorite person is hated by the masses violently. But you go to Jenny Slate comments and it's like, this girl is fucking beautiful and fucking charming. And
she
it's like,
she is just charming.
But if she was charming, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But she has
she's
to be
funny.
Beautiful too.
And she's, that's the thing too.
It
she's
is,
gorgeous.
It's so sad when people aren't pretty enough for like the crowd and
for
the
consumption.
Crowd and the crowd is like, "Fuck you! I want to kill your ass." And
isn't
you're
that
like,
"Crazy! It's so crazy!
It's not fair."
No.
Well, it's different for straight men, but the thing about gay people and women is that they have to learn how to weaponize their beauty.
Totally.
So it's like, if you're not going to be able to function that way, it's like we can't take you so seriously.
It's so crazy.
It sucks.
It's crazy, and that also like that. Has changed too. It's like I think about that with comedy too, how there's this expectation that like in addition to being funny and in addition to like being like lovable, there's also an expectation to like look hot and like do a great photo shoot and just be this kind of full package. But that's like not how it always was. I think that's a new thing in the last 10 years.
Well, it's because
it
women
totally
and gay.
Is.
Yeah,
I don't think it's literally straight men. And Matt Rife is something to be shown.
Right.
Well,
that's a great example.
What happened is that girls who were pretty decided to be funny too, and it ruined it for everybody else.
What happened is all the actresses in LA who like weren't getting parts were like, I'll try stand up. Like my agent was like, do stand up. So they did stand up, and then it was like, oh, like these are the people I have to kind of like come up with. It's like these hot girls.
Oh my God,
who,
the most beautiful woman alive, who's the 18-year-old at Columbia who plays Karen in Mean Girls. What's her name?
Oh my God.
She's done stand up.
Everyone's
like,
doing stand up
at 16. I'm like,
stand-up.
No, you shouldn't have.
It's crazy. I mean, it's like, it's great. Like, we should all feel sexy and in our flows, in our body, but
shout
there is an expectation.
Out Taylor Tomlinson. I'm telling you, I'm on like Facebook shorts and all the comments are like, it's all these men being like, I love her. I can't put my finger on it. I'm like, it's because you think she's also hot.
Right. It's because someone who's like, it's just like, it's like a gal's girl, you know, girl's girl kind of moment where it's like, she's really funny and she's. Doesn't hurt that she's gorgeous. You're like, you're like, I can't quite figure it out.
Well, that was kind of a perfect up.
Yeah.
I know. Wait.
Oh, this was so fun.
Thanks so much for being
Thanks
on.
Are you kidding?
Much.
Thanks so much for
this
having
so
me.
Fun.
This was so fun, truly.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, now X, and Instagram at I'm Drew Anderson. No, I'm not on Threads.
Okay, beautiful.
I'm
no
Drew
one
Anderson.
Is.
Yeah.
And you just missed their amazing show at Littlefield, Julia. You would have loved it.
Would have loved it. I'm fingers crossed, hoping that it was great. But you know,
that's so fun to have a friend for 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Julia for even longer than that. We just did the show last time we did it was 7 years ago.
Oh my God,
she's one of Julia Shiplett. Shout out to Julia. I love her. Known her since Chicago.
Oh my God,
known her a long time.
She seems like a cool girl.
She's the best.
Capital cool.
She is so cool. Yeah, you'll have to.
We gotta reach out to her.
Yeah, do it.
We will.
She's great.
Okay, love it. Okay. Guys, we'll be back next week with the season finale of season 5. Oh my God, can you believe it? Lena's gonna be at the Moth. It's gonna be incredible. Check it out.
The Moth. Yeah. The Moth on the map.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.